From Jefferson Public Radio at Southern Oregon University, this is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Off the top, the end of summer, the beginning of fall, and the first Friday of the month. That means the return of our First Friday Arts segment. We'll list a bunch of events in the performing and visual arts and urge you to call or email with more. Down the hour, the Governor's Marketplace Roadshow. The Governor of Oregon is determined to help the economy grow by helping small businesses. You'll hear how the roadshow helps and where it is heading in the next couple of weeks. After 9, the host of problems facing bee populations across the country and an effort to begin helping them in our neck of the woods. The Upper Rogue Pollinator Project is designed to help bees recover. You'll hear how from the people behind it. All that and your phone calls and emails ahead on the Jefferson Exchange. First, this hour's news. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We broadcast live weekday mornings and rebroadcast weekday evenings on radio stations serving Oregon and California. We are also found online at jeffexchange.org. You can click Listen Live and listen to us through our streaming service there. It is Friday, September 6th, 2013. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. In this hour, First Friday in the Arts, and the Governor helps small businesses. Our First Friday segment collects a list of events in performing and visual arts in one place, and you join in to lengthen the list. Then we'll check in with the people behind the Governor's Marketplace Roadshow in Oregon to hear how it helps small businesses. You can join our discussions here on the Exchange. You're really expected to in our First Friday Arts segment. Phone numbers and email address are on the way. First, let's get a weather forecast from our student assistant, Reed Newland.
On the Northern California coast today, windy and mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with patchy fog and a high near 67. In Redding and Red Bluff, sunny and windy with a high around 92. In Yreka, sunny with a high near 82. In Whedon, Mount Shasta, sunny with a high near 80. On the Southern Oregon coast, cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with patchy fog and a slight chance of showers. In the Klamath Basin, mostly sunny with a high near 74. In Grants Pass, Medford, and Ashland, mostly sunny with a high around 83. In the Southern Oregon Cascades and Siskiyous, cloudy through mid-morning, then gradually clearing with a high near 65. In Roseburg and the Umpqua Basin, cloudy through mid-morning, then gradually clearing with a slight chance of showers and a high near 78. And in Eugene and Springfield today, cloudy through mid-morning, then gradually clearing, with rain likely and a high near 73.
Rain likely, but not really present at the moment. Some scattered showers around to the north of Eugene, but those are generally dissipating, it would appear. And as we go through the weekend, it will become a lot more sunny and a lot warmer. We're getting back up into the 90s for most of the region, so that little bit we had yesterday that included some thunderstorms, some thunder, some hail, some heavy rain. I saw some pictures of in the newspaper of cars up to their axles in Central Point because the rain came down so fast there yesterday. Other than that, though, we're getting back into a summer pattern. That was just a taste of fall we got, and now back into a summer pattern. Let's enjoy it. Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We're always glad to have you here. Our First Friday segment acknowledges the fact that First Friday Art Walks return to several cities in the region tonight, including Eugene, Ashland, and Grants Pass. We hitch our wagon to that star and roll out our First Friday Arts segment. Charlotte Dern and I will run down a list of arts items, performing, visual, musical, you name it, for the weeks ahead. And we invite you to call and add events and details. Call us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or send us an email to jx@jeffnet.org. So this first Friday of the month, September 6th, what do we have, Charlotte?
It looks like the Firehouse Gallery is presenting Alan Stewart starting tonight. It's a mixed-media digital collage that describes the language of the landscape and the visual relationship between landscape maps and geography and the idea of becoming lost. For more information, you can visit the Firehouse Gallery website.
Also today, this is Friday, September 6th, the Schneider Museum of Art continues with a show that's going to close fairly soon. It's Betty LeDuc Celebrating Life. This is Betty LaDuke's 65 years of creating drawings, paintings, and sculptures that embrace cultural understanding throughout the globe. The exhibition's been up since late June. It'll close on September 14th, so you'll want to see that now at the Schneider Museum of Art at Southern Oregon University in Ashland.
And First Friday Art Walk at the Hannon Library. Starting tonight, experience the First Friday artwork of Southern Oregon University's Hannon Library. The library holds a special open house every first Friday of the month from 5:30 to 8 p.m., and visitors can view the art and artifact collection and display in the university's library while enjoying music and free refreshments.
Let us move on to take some calls for our First Friday Art segment. We have Livia from the Camelot Theater and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange once again in our First Friday Art segment.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeffrey. What a joy to be here. We have right now running Ugg the Caveman musical. The very first line of Bill Varble's review said, "I couldn't stop laughing."
Which is always a good place to start.
Yes, it's always a good place to start. It's a wonderful, silly musical. It's probably the silliest show we've ever done. You know, Ugg's tribe is sitting around eating boar, and they say, "Tell us a story about the boar that almost killed you." It killed you, and Ugg goes, "Not again. Okay, but if I tell it, I'm going to tell it different. Let's pretend it isn't now. Let's pretend it's then." And then Ugg totally creates live theater with all the headaches involved, including the casting couch reversed, which would be the casting rock, where the tribe's babe decides to seduce Ugg so she can get a leading part. And things like, well, the show isn't written in stone. Well, yes, it is. I have the tablet right here. So, you know, you just come prepared to just enjoy yourself and have a great laugh.
Oh, that's a good time. Ugg the Caveman musical runs for how long at the Camelot Theater?
It runs through September 22nd, and we follow that on September 26th with Spotlight on Barry Manilow, a little biography and a lot of music with the wonderful Kurt Bernhardt singing all the Barry Manilow tunes, and it's narrated by the one and only Shirley Patton.
Wow. Anybody who's not heard Kurt Bernhardt sing will be in for a real treat if we go see him as Barry Manilow. I can't wait to see what kind of wig he wears or whatever else he does to make himself look more like Barry Manilow.
Well, he's not going to try to look like Barry, because Barry, in our memories, Jeffrey, is not how Barry looks now.
True.
He's older. I hate to tell you that, but he's a little older. But he will be singing it. And, you know, he had quite an interesting life. And, in fact, a show that he wrote is being performed, a musical that's not like the Copacabana, is being performed at the Alliance in Atlanta after 7 or 8 years of his working on it. So he's still making music, and we're just going to be doing a wonderful tribute to him.
I have to admit, ever since you first said his name, I've got, "I write the songs that make the whole world sing," going through my head.
Well, I have a daughter named Mandy.
Oh, that's right.
I'm not saying that he was one of my favorites, but I saw him live at the Universal Amphitheater before it had a cover on it, and he is just the most, he's adorable. He's adorable, he's passionate, he's alive, and his music is that. So we're doing Spotlight on Barry Manilow after Ugg, so we'll have gone from the ridiculous to the sublime.
Okay, Ugg the Caveman musical, and then followed by Spotlight on Barry Manilow with Kurt Bernhardt.
Right, and the phone number is 541-535-5250 or CamelotTheater.org.
All right, Livia, always good to hear from you. Thanks for calling us today on our First Friday.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey.
Who else do we have here? Let's see. Let's go to Peggy. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on our First Friday Art segment.
Hi there. This is Peggy Metzger from Redwood Curtain Theater in Eureka.
Good to hear from you, Peggy. What's going on?
Tomorrow night is not only our Arts Alive in Eureka's Old Town, but it's also the gala opening night of our new show, Becky's New Car, which is a hilarious romp about a middle-aged wife and mom who wants to find a new life and have a little escape. We had a preview performance last night, and it went fabulous. The audience loved it. Come on down to Eureka's Old Town on Saturday night for Arts Alive and Becky's New Car. Show runs through September 28th.
Can you give us a little plot outline there, Peggy?
Well, I'm the executive director of Redwood Curtain, but I'm also occasionally on stage, and I actually play Becky in this one.
Oh, okay, so you know the part intimately.
Yeah, I do. and I am, so I play Becky, who is a wife and a mother and a working woman who needs a little escape, I think, a little tired of her life, and in walks a handsome millionaire into my life, and And he tempts me with something different. I don't want to give away too much, but
okay.
It's pretty exciting. And a little romance, lots of comedy. It's very fun.
All right, so Becky's New Car playing at the Redwood Curtain Theater in Eureka, and
yep.
It'll also be part of Arts Alive tomorrow night. And how long is Becky's New Car playing?
Through September 28th.
Through the 28th. Okay, great. Thanks for calling, Peggy. Good to hear from you.
You're very welcome. Thanks a lot.
All right, Charlotte, move us through the list. What else do we have?
Starting tonight, take a fun-filled ride down memory lane as Rogue Music Theater presents Happy Days, a new musical. Shows are Friday and Saturday evening, September 6th, 7th, and 13th and 14th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, September 8th and 15th at 2 p.m. at the Grants Pass Performing Arts Center, 8th and Olive. So you can go check that out.
We also have Man of La Mancha playing at the Randall Theater at 10 3rd Street in Medford this evening, Saturday evening, and then next weekend as well. Our own Don Matthews from JPR, he works on the classical service, is in the title role as Don Quixote de La Mancha. This is the melding of the Cervantes story with some modern elements as well. Very popular play, Man of La Mancha, playing at the Randall Theater in Medford tonight and tomorrow night, and then next weekend as well at Randall Theater.
Then coming up, starting Saturday, September 7th, there's the Gold Beach Brew and Art. They have two bands that'll play on two stages, and area hotels are located nearby. This year, they expect to have an even larger selection of craft brews, 45 kegs, more than last year, and that's all at goldbeachbrewfest.org. And there's bands playing and music and fun.
Okay, and again, beer. Lots of beer.
Lots of beer.
That too. Who else do we have on the line, Charlotte? Call them out.
We look like Mark in Redding.
Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on our first Friday Arts segment.
Yes, I'm calling on behalf of the Performing Arts Society. They're having two concerts in September. Both of them are going to be at All Saints Episcopal Church on 2150 Benton Drive in Redding. And the first one is on Friday the 13th, 7:30 p.m. There is an admission charge. May I say what it is?
Sure.
It's $5. And it's the Shasta Symphony Orchestra Chamber Players in Concert, directed by Dr. Dwayne Corbin. And they're going to be doing Mendelssohn's Octet for Strings, Richard Strauss's Serenade in E-flat for Woodwinds, and Stravinsky's Suite for Small Orchestra. And the second concert is admission by donation. It's a duet of Dr. Russell Burnham, clarinetist, and Dr. Robert Bowman, pianist. That'll be on Friday, September 27th. And they're performing Von Weber's Grand Duo Concertant, Opus 48, Brahms Sonata for Clarinet and Piano, Opus 120, Number 2,
right, so
Bernstein's Sonata for Clarinet and Piano. That's okay. Leonard Bernstein.
All right, and what's the location again on these?
That's at All Saints Episcopal Church, 2150 Benton Drive in Reading.
All Saints Episcopal Church. And the dates were the 27th, and what was the first one?
The 13th for the chamber players, and the 27th for the duet.
All right, great. Thanks, Mark. Good to hear from you, as always. This is our first Friday Arts segment here on the Jefferson Exchange. Charlotte Dern and I are here running through the list of events in the performing and visual arts, and there's a bit of a mushrooming this month. It's good to see that after a fairly quiet August, lots of people with information about events in the performing and visual arts in the weeks ahead. You can join us to add to the list. Call us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And let me tell you about the Criterion Theater at the Collier Center, or the Criterion Ginger Rogers Theater, as we used to call it. Displaying The Glass Menagerie, which is put on by Next Stage Repertory Company. That is this Friday and Saturday and next Friday and Saturday. Very little needs to be said about The Glass Menagerie, the famous Tennessee Williams story about Tom and Amanda and all the goings-on inside the walls of that house. The Glass Menagerie from the Next Stage Repertory Theater at the Criterion Theater in Medford, Central Avenue, this weekend, Friday and Saturday, and next weekend, Friday and Saturday.
And coming up, the Dallas Brass will perform in Crescent City on Tuesday, September 17th. This is their second visit to Crescent City. Dallas Brass will perform their signature mix at the Crescent Elk Auditorium on Tuesday, starting at 7:30 p.m. And once again, the Dallas Brass will provide a workshop for area band students during the day and perform with them in the evening concert. And on the line, we have Marissa.
Maria and Eugene, go ahead, Marisa.
Hello, I'm calling from Mecca. We're back from our summer hiatus, and we are the first stop on the Art Walk tonight. And I'm here to share our fifth annual Object Afterlife Art Challenge, where each person was given a random object, and they had 2 months to prepare an art piece. So tonight's show is all about that. The reception is 5:30 to 7:30. And at 7 p.m., we have Mayor Kitty Piercy of Eugene, our Eugene Slug Queen, and it is Mecca's Miha Andrade's last Object Afterlife. She's actually leaving Mecca, and we're getting a new director next month. So it's a very big night for us at Mecca, and we are located at 449 Willamette Street, and that is next to the train station and behind the electric station restaurant.
All right, so 449 Willamette Street in Eugene. And the random objects thing, I'm curious about that, Marisa. What's the range of random objects you gave to the artists?
Oh, goodness. Well, I forgot to share that we had over 50 applicants this year. It's the most we've ever had. It's a huge show, and it ranges from things like plastic strapping from shipping boxes, styrofoam to glass. So it's a lot of things, and you will not believe the objects that were created, and it's one of our favorite shows, and it's going to be a total blast tonight. So I invite anybody to come on down to 449 Willamette Street in Eugene.
And where is Mia moving on to?
Mia does not know quite yet. She's gotten a few offers, but she says she just wants to live life and maybe take some time off and travel.
All right. Changing times at Mecca, 449 Willamette Street in Eugene, right next to the train station and behind the Oregon Electric Station. First Friday Art Walk tonight. Look at the random objects. Marisa, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a nice night.
All right. Let's see what else we have going on. We have the Eagle View Bluegrass and Beyond Music Festival Saturday and Sunday at the Eagle View Group Campground in Sutherland. That's off Highway 138. Features a whole bunch of bands, including Long Mountain Revival, Red Diesel, Sequoia, The Antonucci Collective, mandolinist Brian Oberlin, and more. And all kinds of fun on the Umpqua River with bluegrass at the Eagle View Bluegrass and Beyond Music Festival Saturday and Sunday at the Eagle View Group Campground in Sutherland.
And coming up Thursday, September 19th, Klamath Blues Society Jam Nights, a new location and schedule. And Klamath Blues Society Jam Nights are now being held at Tequila's Sports Bar and Grill at 1111 Main Street in Klamath Falls on the first and third Thursdays of the month. Open mic starts at 8 p.m. and continues to 11 p.m. And for information, call Phyllis at 541-331-3939.
Every weekend or every first Sunday of the month, the California Old Time Fiddlers Association District 6 gets together for the open mic, free concert performance, and open jam. And this will be Sunday the 8th at the St. James Lutheran Church on Shasta View Boulevard in Redding. That's 1 to 4. California State Old Time Fiddlers Association, bring a fiddle. Hey, if you bring nothing else other than a foot to tap along with the music, you'll be doing well. So that's the California Old Time Fiddlers District 6 in Redding on Sunday 1 to 4. Let's take another call.
We have Phyllis in Grants Pass.
Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on our first Friday Arts segment.
Hi. Well, we have our first Friday Art Walk in Grants Pass this evening, and I want to have people know about the Creative Alternative Fair Trade Project. We have a collection of certified fair trade objects of many types, decorative and functional. I'll tell you where we will be. We're going to be hosted by the Unity Church of Grants Pass at 1027 Southeast M Street, M as in Mother. And most of the Grants Pass activity starts at 5 o'clock. We're opening the doors at 4 so that people can, if they would like, swing by on their way to City Center, which is where most of the other activity is. We're a little bit off the beaten track, but our things from around the world are worth seeing, purchasing for those who want. But there's also local artist Judy Coral, who we've invited to bring her wonderful paintings to be alongside our fair trade gifts.
All right, and this again is, what's the address on M Street?
It's 1027 Southeast M.
All right. So people can swing by there starting at 4 o'clock. And
starting at 4, and we go from 4 till 8.
And then people can swing downtown for the rest of First Friday Art Walk and Grants Pass.
Absolutely, yes. And so we, if you'd like to hear a little more, we were some of the original owners some 10 years ago of the Creative Alternative, which was an actual shop in the Art Museum building. And anyway, we're, you know, as we haven't had a shop for some time, but decided since there's no fair trade in Grants Pass anymore, we'd like to pop up here and there, excuse me, with some of our wonderful things.
All right, sounds like a fun display. Phyllis, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, can I mention a couple of other things here?
Oh, we're actually out of time. We need to move on to something else, Phyllis.
All
but,
right,
but
thank
thanks so
you.
Much for the call on our First Friday Art segment.
And coming up, the Oregon Cabaret Theater in Ashland has been producing famous musicals for the past 27 years. Tonight, the theater opens its latest, a Gershwin musical.
Wonderful, marvelous, you should care for me.
JPR volunteer arts reporter Bob Davey talks with the theater's artistic director, Jim Giancarlo.
Jim, tell us about how the Cabaret Theater got started here 27 years ago in Ashland.
Well, the Cabaret got started when Craig Hudson, who was a professor of scene design at Southern Oregon University at the time, purchased what Ashlanders know as the Old Pink Church. In reality, the First Baptist Church of Ashland on the corner of First and Hargadine, which was built in 1911 but had been sitting idle since 1969. Craig had a vision to have a theater restaurant in Ashland, and I was among the production team of that very first show, Dames at Sea, which opened on August 1st of 1986. I've been with the theater ever since, and we have produced about 5 shows a year, every year for the past 27 years. And tonight we're about to open our newest show, which is called Swonderful, the New Gershwin Musical.
Tell us about that show and what makes Gershwin so memorable.
Well, you know, I think it's amazing that the Gershwins, who wrote most of their music in the 20s and 30s, which is, you know, about 70-plus years ago, the music is still popular today. In fact, there's 2 shows on Broadway currently that feature the music of the Gershwins, Porgy and Bess, and Nice Work If You Can Get It, which is a brand new show with Matthew Broderick. And if you go on YouTube, you'll see hundreds and hundreds of recordings, people still recording music written by the Gershwins way back in the 20s and 30s. Ira, who is the lyricist of the team, he outlived his younger brother by over 40 years, and he went on to write songs with many other people. But George Gershwin, the musical genius, unfortunately died at the age of 38 of a brain tumor. And in that short 38 years, he and his brother wrote together hundreds of songs.
This show is wonderful. What are the most memorable tunes from it?
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's some of George's symphonic music that threads through it, Rhapsody in Blue and An American in Paris, amazing symphonic works. Then there's songs like Funny Face, Our Love is Here to Stay, I Got Rhythm, Fascinating Rhythm, The Man I Love.
Gene Kelly did I've Got Rhythm in one of his shows, right?
Gene Kelly used I Got Rhythm in the movie An American in Paris, which was a fantastic work. So, yeah, lots of songs that people will recognize and a few that they might not have heard.
That's Swonderful by the Gershwins, opening tonight at the Oregon Cabaret Theater in Ashland. I've been talking with the artistic director of that theater, Jim Giancarlo. For Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Bob Davey.
And thank you, Bob. Rounding out our first Friday Art segment here on the Jefferson Exchange, where you just got a few seconds left, really, to give you a few more items going on in the weeks ahead. The Music by the Mountain Festival comes to the St. Mark's Preservation Square in Wairika on Saturday, September 14th. The Music of the Mountain Festival presents Totally Telemann with the Jefferson Baroque Orchestra. It's a great evening of music, history, and humor. That's Saturday, September 14th at St. Mark's Preservation Square on Lane and 4th Streets in Wairika. And we get one more from Charlotte, and we'll have to call it good.
Dancing People Company will open their 11th Oregon season with performances at the Mountain Avenue Theater in Ashland, beginning Friday and Saturday, September 27th and 28th at 7:30 p.m. For more information, you can visit their website at dancingpeople.com.
Okay, we actually do have time for one more. Music Under the Sky is a benefit for the Maslow Project in Medford. It features Love Bite and the Jeff Pivar Trio. It's a benefit concert, again, for the Maslow Project, serving homeless youth in Jackson County. Sunday, September 15th at 5 o'clock at Silver Spring Farm on Nevada Street in Ashland. So, Music Under the Sky, Silver Spring Farm, Sunday, September 15th. That'll do it for our first Friday Art segment. Thanks for calling and thanks for listening. Back after a break.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 6th of September, 2013. It was on this day, 1620, that the Mayflower sailed from Plymouth, England, bound for the New World, carrying the people we know as pilgrims. They called themselves separatists or saints. They wanted to separate from the Church of England. They'd commissioned two boats for the journey, the Speedwell and the Mayflower. The Speedwell started to leak when they set out. They went back, they tried to repair it, and they lost some time. So they arrived in the New World in December, December 21st, 3 months after they left. Historians believe the Mayflower was about 90 feet long, carried 102 passengers and food and livestock, tools, stuff they needed to get through the winter. Passengers rode in a large open cargo area. But at least it smelled good because the ship had previously been used to transport wine. There were no sanitary facilities, little fresh water. Many of the passengers became seasick. They ate cheese and fish or salted beef, cold food. They intended to land near the mouth of the Hudson River, but they were off course, landed near Cape Cod, spent a month searching for a place to settle. Only half of the colonists and the crew survived that first winter. But today, about 35 million people are direct descendants of those Mayflower pilgrims. It was on this day, 1522, that one of the five ships that had set out with Magellan returned to Spain, having sailed around the globe. Magellan had been dead for more than a year. He got involved in a tribal conflict in the Philippines. Ship that made it to Spain on this day in 1522 was the Vitoria. It returned with just 18 of the original 237 men aboard. And it was on this day in 1847, Henry David Thoreau left Walden Pond, moved back to Concord to his father's house, having lived in the woods for 2 years. He brought with him the first draft of his book, A Week on the Concord and Merrimack Rivers, which he'd strung together from 10 years of journal entries. And it's the birthday of the writer Alice Siebold, born in Madison, Wisconsin, 1963. Her first novel, The Lovely Bones, was a New York Times bestseller for more than a year in 2002. Here's a poem for today by Jeffrey Harrison, Green Canoe. I don't often get the chance any longer to go out alone in the green canoe and lying in the bottom of the boat, just drift where the breeze takes me, down to the other end of the lake or into some cove without my knowing, because I can't see anything over the gunwales but sky as I lie there, feeling the ribs of the boat as my own, this floating pod with a body inside it. Also a mind that drifts among clouds and the sounds that carry over water. a flutter of birdsong, a screen door slamming shut, as well as the usual stuff that clutters it, but slowed down, opened up, like the fluff of milkweed tugged from its husk and floating over the lake, to be mistaken for mayflies at dusk by feeding trout, or be carried away to a place where the seeds might sprout. Jeffrey Harrison's poem Green Canoe from his collection Feeding the Fire, published by Saraband Books and used by permission here on The Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.